May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. I'm going to start off with the first verse in John, in our Gospel today. Jesus prayed for his disciples, and then he said, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. And that is what Acts is all about. That's what Jesus wanted. That's who he was praying for, not just his disciples that day, but for everyone who comes later. Sharing the word of the gospel, sharing the word of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Paul and Silas, they were being the word. They were knowing it. They were doing it. They were doing God's love. They were sharing, eventually, with the jailer. And, of course, the other people in Philippi. But, so getting back to Acts. There they were. They went to Philippi because they were going to a place of prayer. And they met up with a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. And for the owners of this girl, she was lucrative. She made them lots and lots of money. Well, while Paul and Silas were going around trying to teach and heal and just spread the love of God, this girl was following them around. And she recognized him, but also the spirit, the demon inside of her, recognized that these were men of God. And so she would always call out, these men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation. Well, this was very threatening to some, but especially her owners. So what happened? Day after day after day, this was going on. And Paul being Paul, and I don't blame him, but Paul being Paul got annoyed. He had had enough. And he says, I order you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And it worked. Paul basically exorcised the demon out of that slave girl. Now, most people would be happy about that. But the owners were enraged. They were furious because their money just went out the window. She couldn't do it anymore. So what happened? Well, they dragged Paul and Silas, no surprise to us because we know the history, but they dragged Paul and Silas to the magistrate, to the authorities in the town. But they lie. They don't really tell the truth. They tell what they want to tell to get these people in trouble. They're not being honest. They're not being godly. They say, these men are disturbing our city. That wasn't true. They were not disturbing the city. What it was they weren't agreeing with these particular men. So they lied. So of course the crowd got just as enraged, because crowds tend to do that at times. And so the magistrate ordered them to be whipped or flogged or beaten. All of it is the same, and it was severe. So if in the Bible it says it was severe, we can guarantee one another it was probably close to death. So then, if that wasn't enough, they ordered them to go to jail. And they tell, and this is kind of interesting in the next couple of verses, they tell the jailer, secure these people. Make sure they are secured and they can't get away. Well, so he follows their instructions because of fear. And he puts them in the innermost cell. Now, if we think of jails today, We think of nice floors, beds, sometimes TVs, places to work out, probably fair to mediocre food, I don't know, I've never ate in one. But these were dungeons, and worse than dungeons, they were caves. And they went down and down and down into the earth, where even rats probably didn't want to go. Where things collected down there that I don't want to discuss. It was horrid. Just being down there could cause this, all sorts of diseases and our claustrophobia and terrible fear and illness. It just would be an awful place to go, especially after being beaten and flogged. And if that wasn't enough to shut them away, he locked up their feet in stocks. They were not getting out, as far as the jailer and the magistrates were concerned. So what happens next? If it was me, I can guarantee you, I would probably not be sane and calm at that point. And what they were doing was praying and singing songs and witnessing to the other prisoners in the jail. I think of the little problems that I have today and I get worried or stressed about it. Well, this makes them all go away and I feel ridiculous. Because these men were so, so confident in the Lord that they were still singing and praying. After all of this happened, think about it. I do. It's so impressive. What happens next? An earthquake. Well, it rocked the jail to its core. And all the doors swung open. All the chains were unlocked. And what happens next? I tell you, I would have been the first one out of there. But they stayed there. And the jailer, he wakes up from all the commotion and he draws his sword, not to try to get them, but to kill himself because he was liable and he knew what was going to happen to him if they escaped. What a riveting story this is, and it's true. But then Paul, which shows his immense patience and love and forgiveness, he said, don't harm yourself. No. We're all still here. You're okay. That is the love of Christ. That is the love of Christ. So the jailer calls for lights because he's probably very confused and doesn't believe his ears. And he rushes in and then he sees them and he falls down on his knees, trembling before Paul and Silas. Because for him, he probably thought, wow, their God is really impressive. And their love and forgiveness is impressive that they're showing me. Because they didn't even leave. So what happens next? He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Because he brought them all out of the jail. They could have run away. He would have been murdered by or executed. But he asked them instead, and they stayed with him. He asked them, what do I do to be saved? He is interested. Now that's evangelism, what happened that night. And so Paul says, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's all you have to do, and you will be saved. So they spoke to him about Jesus. And then they all went to the jailer's house that night. And then after everything, the jailer washes all their wounds and binds them up and takes care of them. And then he and his entire household were baptized that day. What a long but fruitful day. And next, he doesn't go to bed and tells them, go ahead and leave. He feeds them. He gets a meal prepared, and they eat together. And eating together in those days was such a bond. And that's why we're here today. We're eating. We're having communion. We're bonding as Christians. That's what it's all about. A story of bravery and a story of love because of Jesus Christ and their faithfulness to him. And the very last verse in John wraps it all up. Jesus says, I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. What I'd like to do, if you don't mind, because I think the prayer is awesome for the prayer of the week. You can open up your bulletins and pray it with me, or not, up to you. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into your one will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.